As mentioned, we're going to be looking at Columbus State's approach to placement and really their placement boot camp that tees students up for success. So I've always, loved hearing them talk about the data and the things that they've been able to really accomplish in the way of impacting students getting through these courses. And it's inspiring, and it's a great reminder for all of you what you guys are doing every day, that you really, the impact that you make. So we have our two panelists here. Amy, who's been teaching for 17 years and has a real focus around a course redesign and creating their college algebra co-rec at this point. And Jessica, who's been teaching 20 years and has experience across high school, university, and community college level, also really involved with developing the developmental math emporium, which we'll find out how the placement kind of feeds into that, as well as their college algebra co-rec. So without further ado, I will let them take it away. And yeah, Jessica, you can start sharing your screen.
Okay, thank you, Emily. So just give me one second here. Okay, so I believe you all can see my screen now. So thank you all so much for coming. My name is Jessica LaCurry. Thank you, Brittany and Emily, Amy and I are always honored to do anything with McGraw-Hill and brag about and be so excited to share the success we have with Alex and Alex PPL. So today we're here to talk about our week one placement boot camp. So how we're closing equity gaps and improving outcomes for our students with an embedded boot camp in our Emporium course. So first, just a little level setting about our college. We are a two-year, Columbus State is a two-year open access school. We're in downtown Columbus. So in an urban setting, Ohio State is right up the street. We have about six regional learning centers, plus in addition to our main campus. We have about 27,000-ish students at any given time. We have a large enrollment in our College Credit Plus, which is our high school dual enrollment. That's always growing. It's about 20% of our enrollment. We have a lot of students that transfer to Ohio State. Our department, our math department, is rather large. We have about 40 full-time faculty and over 100 adjunct faculty. So we wanted to start again a little more level setting. So at our college, we are part of an initiative in Ohio called Ohio Strong Start to Finish. And it's kind of a consortium of about 18 institutions that are looking at, again, improving student success outcomes specifically for underserved populations. So our college identified these goals, these five institutional goals. If you see, they center around increasing college completion, persistence, and specifically the one that we are most involved with, our work focuses on increasing the percent of students completing Gateway College math and English in their first year of college. So that's what our work centers around and what our placement boot camp really helps to address. So first, just a little history. Like probably most schools around the country, before we began math redesign initiatives, we had a traditional linear math pathway, developmental math pathway. We used the Compass placement test years ago. So it was a one and done placement test that they would take that would place them into potentially three different levels of remediation. So we have three levels. We had basic math and pre-algebra, beginning algebra, and intermediate. So potentially students could have up to three semesters, up to 14 credits of developmental math before ever reaching their college level course, the gateway course, which was typically college algebra, although there's other options, typically with college algebra. So like many schools across the country, we've over the years improved this and began some pretty big redesign efforts. In 2012, our first big redesign effort was implementing a developmental math emporium. So it did several things. We still had the Compass one and done placement test at that point, but what it allowed students to do was accelerate within those three levels of remediation. So students would still place at one of those levels, but they would have the option, depending on how their abilities and the time they had in their schedule, to potentially complete up to three courses in one semester. which would allow them to get into that college algebra gateway course faster. But it was obviously a significant reduction in credit hours, especially if they accelerated, but even just the developmental math emporium course itself reduced credit hours from a 4 or 5 credit hour course to a 3 credit course with 6 contact hours because of the lab format. I went to scale in 2012. There's the 3 levels of developmental math. So in our emporium, they don't all just start at the lowest level. So we use the placement results, or some of them had come, if they're coming in with pre-algebra already completed, then they come in and pick up where they leave off. So they can pick up where they leave off. That's another acceleration effort in the emporium that achieves. It allows students to complete like a course and a half in one semester and then finish up a course and a half the second semester. We have a strict attendance and participation policy that we started in 2012, I believe, or sorry, 2014. And that's greatly increased our success and the acceleration of students. And they work along personalized learning paths in ALEX. So again, it's a nonlinear presentation using ALEX. Students take the initial knowledge check. They get credit for what they know. So no students have to go back all the way back to 7th grade math and start from scratch in a linear path. They just fill in the gaps that they have. And ALEX allows us to do that. So again, the acceleration is a great ability of the emporium so that they can get individualized remediation. And what we found, the data has shown that we're increasing retention and closing equity gaps since we implemented the emporium.
In the autumn of 2016, there was a real game changer for us in our developmental math redesign at Columbus State, in that we adopted for our placement product ALEX PPL placement preparation and learning. And so I do hope those of you who don't know much about it will attend that 2 o'clock session. I'm just going to give you a brief overview of the power of this placement tool. It's an adaptive test powered by artificial intelligence, the same way the ALEX coursework product is. The results of the test then populate an individualized, customized remediation path for each student, giving them an opportunity to, in a very targeted way, fill in those gaps that they demonstrated having during their placement test. Students then spend time in the prep and learning module, where they go through these topics and brush up and dust off the cobwebs. And after spending a specific amount of time remediating, the student then has the opportunity within the ALEX PPL product to take their placement test again after having spent that time remediating. Students often, as a result of this, increase their placement level at least one full course level, saving them significant time and money. So another game changer that happened that ends up connecting to the having the ALEX PPL product was a year later, fast forward a year, we've been using the placement tool for a year now. And another initiative that Jessica and I were highly involved in is the development of a college algebra co-requisite course. At Columbus State, the majority of our students do take college algebra as their first gateway course. We have that strong partnership with The Ohio State University, and a lot of our students are transferring there. So for us to make an impact in a gateway course, college algebra was our first choice. I know some institutions have been doing more work around co-requisite quantitative reasoning or statistics, but it's the same idea. For our course, College Algebra Plus, we call it. Students we've lowered the prerequisite by one full level, and we've embedded just-in-time remediation using ALEX, along with students' support tools, like to support students through their behaviors and their skills and mindset. So both supports and just-in-time remediation. So with that lowered prerequisite, what it means is, In Ohio anyway, the remediation-free standard for college readiness is ACT 22. And at Columbus State, we've now said ACT 24 is what you need in order to place into the supported, support-free college algebra course, the traditional one. Anyone with an ACT of 20 to 23 go into the supported course, and people below the ACT of 20 place into that developmental emporium Jessica was speaking about. So in the spring of that same year, after having piloted fairly quite successfully, actually, that college algebra co-requisite course, we were realizing that students were not taking advantage of the remediation opportunity within the ALEX PPL product for whatever reason. And we can think of lots of reasons, lots of barriers to why a student can't come to campus and take a proctored placement test and then go find a place to remediate for, you know, some period of time on the computer and then make their way back down to campus again to practice or to test again. So we were finding this great opportunity was also feeling a little bit like not everyone was taking advantage of it. And so we thought, well, what can we do about that? And at the same time we're thinking about that, we're thinking about our Emporium. Jessica and I were the leads of our math emporium at the time, and we had the idea of suspending the coursework in the emporium for the first week, suspending that coursework. So the emporium doesn't really start week one. Week one is now going to be a placement boot camp. You took your ALEX PPL test, maybe you remediated, maybe you didn't. In either event, you ended up placing below college ready into the emporium. Now we're going to spend the first week giving you, making sure you take advantage of the opportunity to remediate and retest right here in the lab with the support of your instructor. So it's about equity. It's making that opportunity truly available to everyone. At the same time, we have our co-requisite course, instead of starting at week one, we took our co-requisite course and started at week two. Remember, we also eliminated one level of remediation going into that co-requisite course. So you see how intermediate algebra has dropped out of the emporium. So our emporium has shrunk to two courses. It begins with a boot camp. And in the second week, students have an opportunity to enter their college level course. I think the next graphic shows that in a more streamlined way, because it's a lot to kind of take in. I realize that. So hopefully this visual helps. They take their placement test with ALEX PPL, highly accurate placement versus Compass. However, not all of them have necessarily remediated. And I should say, even if they have, you have up to five, I believe it is. Emily could correct me, but I think it's you have up to five times a student can remediate and retest within ALEX. So sometimes we'll see they retested once, and then here in the boot camp, they're going to retest again. Yeah, I see that's correct. Okay, good. All right, so they take their placement test, they place below college ready, they enter our emporium, which is now primarily two courses instead of three. So that's been an acceleration and a removal of a attrition point. They spend that first week testing, and what they either have done is they've confirmed that they are in the right place, which is basic math and pre-algebra or beginning algebra. And now that there's only two courses in that, and we have a very accurate confirmation of their placement, they are completing that remediation in one semester. So we've gone from 14 college credits, or 14 credits that don't count for graduation in any way, 14 pre-college credits, down to three for the remediation. And then in their second semester, they're entering the co-requisite course, where we have all kinds of supports built in for them, and where we also use ALEX. What also happens a lot is students actually place up and bypass either basic math and pre-algebra, or they bypass even the beginning algebra. So they completely placed out of the emporium in the first week, which means where do they go? They go into the week two start co-requisite course. So that's why we have that starting week two. And we'll get into some, just a little bit of detail on how we do that. That's not primarily the focus for today, but there is no loss of instructional time is kind of the point there. And so now we have what used to take maybe 2 years happening in at most a semester or even a week.
Okay.
Yes. Amy, so, really quick, there's one quick question in chat, it looks like, but yeah. Are the pre-algebra and beginning algebra each three credits or three credits together?
The semester course, the emporium course, is three credits. period. So if they complete one course, it's 3 credits. If they complete 2 courses, it's 3 credits.
Okay, so I think Amy said most of what's already on the slide, but just again, the piloting of this boot camp inside of our Emporium began in autumn 2017. We brought it to scale in spring 2020. Doesn't spring 2020 just jump out at you as a significant time in our lives? So right before COVID, we brought it to scale in about 70 sections, and that includes our regional campuses as well. So again, the week one, so if it's 15 weeks of instruction in a semester, the first week is placement boot camp, and then the second week is when the course actually begins. So again, that first week, students are either, they're taking the placement test, whether they've taken it once before or not, and they're remediating and they're taking it again. That's actually part of their participation requirements for the week. So really holding them accountable and scaffolding them actually doing the remediation so that they can either confirm that they're in the right course, their placement is correct, or have the opportunity to raise it. So again, and I think I just said a lot of this already. So everybody takes a placement test on the first day, again, regardless of if they've taken it before. Some of them have not taken it at all. And then in ALEKS PPL, it requires them to spend so much time remediating, and we have it set up for 5 hours of remediation before a second attempt is unlocked at the placement test. And that remediation is customized. It uses the artificial intelligence that the ALEKS courseware uses to determine what students know and what they need to refresh on. So they're not, again, it's not a linear type of remediation. It's customized to that student, so it's very efficient. And then on the second day of class, students will retake the placement test. And again, it's one of those things, it's no harm done. If they don't raise it, no big deal. It just confirms they were in the right place. But the students have that opportunity, which can be very motivating for them. We were always really pleased at the participation level of students in this, meaning most students really, really like having that opportunity, and they actually do put the 5 hours in and take that chance at taking the test again. So this is just an example of, so this student on the first day of class scored an 18, which would have placed them into our developmental emporium to beginning algebra. And then on the second day of class, that student raised their placement to 30, which then places them into our college algebra co-rec. So it placed them up out of the emporium, and we would move them into the college algebra co-rec. So they're getting out of the developmental into the gateway course in the first week.
There's a really good question that just came up in the chat, Jessica. I don't know if you saw it or not, but it was, have we explored any proctoring software, and how have we adapted the boot camp for COVID?
Yes, that's a good question. We actually just started using Respondus Monitor in our College Algebra Co-Rec course. The boot camp is kind of on hold for now. They're not using Respondus Monitor in our Emporium currently. We think it's something great that should be explored, but currently they're not. The boot camp has been kind of suspended, but we're really hopeful that our success with Respondus Monitor in our College Algebra Co-Rec will give them the confidence to try that in the Emporium, and then of course this boot camp. So we think it's a great idea.
Yep.
Okay, so if they place higher, so this was one of the most important things when we were designing this and thinking through this pilot was, you know, these students, most of them are coming in, they're brand new to college. So they're new to college, they're new to a college course. Now they're coming in, they're into a developmental math class, and they're in something called an emporium, and they don't know what any of that is. And they have a placement level, most students don't understand what that means. Now we're asking them on top of that, Now let's take a placement test on the first day and see if we can raise your placement. So it's a lot of decisions for students who are new to college to really think about. So we knew for this to be successful and really ethical and make sure these students felt good and were getting good advice on how to handle this opportunity to place up, we knew advising had to be involved. And we just want to make sure schools know that we do not have some amazingly robust extra advisors on hand. We have amazing advisors, but we don't have any more than any other school. And we didn't let that, and we thought that might be a barrier, but it turns out we were able to be creative and utilize these awesome advisors in a creative way so that every single student who places up meets with an advisor. So they don't have to make this decision on their own, because what they have to decide is, well, should I stay in the Emporium? Like I could stay in the Emporium. If I placed up just a level in the Emporium, do I stay there and just complete that course? Some of them place out and they have to enroll in a new course. So again, it's the first week of school. They didn't even really understand the course they were placed into. Now they have to switch to another course. And then some of them, if they place up, they might want to drop the course. Maybe they had too many courses anyway, and they could drop the course for a full refund because this falls within the full refund window in the first week. So it was crucial that advising was involved with all of these big decisions. So we worked with advising, we developed a form, a standard form that all students in all the sections of the Emporium would take over to advising. And it was kind of took them through some questions, some thought process, talking to them about their major and their math requirements. But again, with an advisor who can verify all of those things, those decisions, that they understand it correctly. We also had financial aid considerations. So some students, after they see an advisor, might be given a fast pass over to financial aid. So instead of having to wait in a big line at financial aid, we had a special thing worked out where the students could just go over and they knew, oh, okay, this is a Math 1099 student, to discuss the potential financial aid implications of them placing up. But we worked with advising so that first week we had special hours. So it was kind of separate from just the walk-in hours of all our advisors. We were able to creatively utilize these rock stars. Our advisors are our rock stars. A special room where students came over and there was kind of like a little sign-in and the students waited. We had snacks over there for everyone waiting, but they were dedicated advisors just for our Emporium students who had placed up. And again, this is during the first week when advising can be very busy and overwhelmed. They were able to work creatively with us to have someone available. Every day during the week that they would need during that first week to get that advising if they place up. And again, this, as far as accountability, like making sure students do this and get the advice they need, going and getting that form signed in advising is part of their participation grade, because we have a strict participation policy in the Emporium. And this was part of their things they needed to do to get their participation grade for the week. For the branch campuses, for the regional centers, we didn't have that the first few semesters, but we are able to work into that. And now we have phone advising because we don't have, you know, a lot of advisors at our regional centers, but we were able to work out a phone advising system to serve those students at our regional campuses. So Amy already mentioned this. We were able to work with our department chair to lower caps on our our gateway courses, the college algebra for the STEM students and the quantitative reasoning for our non-STEM students, so that we could make sure those courses wouldn't start until the second week of the semester. So it would align with the coursework in Math 1090 in our Emporium course, so that then those students could switch to their college level course with no loss of instruction and just start with the rest of the students the next week. And again, that was some creative work with advisors, but with our department chair. He's always really great about working with us on the caps, lowering the caps to save some seats for our students and then adjust them accordingly. And we have the College Algebra co-rec. We also have a quantitative reasoning co-rec. So that's another, that would be for the non-STEM students. A lot of them would place up into the quantitative reasoning co-rec. So if they don't place higher, of course, again, we make sure we assure students of this on the first day. There's no, you know, again, it's like the first day of school, now I have to take another test, right? Potentially stressful situation there, but we just assure them all this is doing is to make sure they're in the right place or potentially raise their score and skip a level. So it's kind of a good motivation, but we assure them that we will always honor the highest placement. Occasionally students' scores won't go up. They might even go down a couple points. Sometimes, you know, again, they took it, you know, hadn't brushed up recently and for various reasons, but most of the time, I mean, if they raise their placement, that's great. But if they don't, it's no worries. We just assure them, great, you're in the right place. And regardless, we found that it helps them. The time that they spend in PPL and Alex PPL remediating, all that's doing, even if they don't raise their placement, it's strengthening their skills so that when they begin the coursework the second week in the Emporium, they've had a really, really great brush up, great refresher, and we find that they're more prepared than in the next week. So as you can see, this is really a cross-departmental, you know, college collaboration to make this work. And we are so grateful for the departments, for financial aid, for advising our department chair. Disability Services, we worked with Disability Services to make sure that students with accommodations would have a way to just leave, go right away, right over to Disability Services. We had a special form, and they could just go right over to Disability Services to test there with the accommodations that they're entitled to. We worked with we have lots of training, right, with our instructors. Our instructors have been amazing, but this, you know, this was some training for instructors who maybe were experienced teaching in Emporium, but now this is adding a whole other level of almost a little advising type component and a lot of logistics that first week. So we had special trainings for all of our instructors. And again, as we said, the faculty, for our you know, adjusting the courses from a 15 week of instruction in our college algebra co-rec to 14 weeks, and same with the quantitative reasoning from 15 to 14 weeks. And then, yeah, financial aid as well, great collaboration. They were helpful as well. But I have to say the advisors were really, really our rock stars. This, and again, I can't say enough to schools listening, we don't have any amazingly high advisor capacity. We have, I think it's a pretty typical from what I've heard from schools across the country, but we were able to work with them and they were so amazing to work creatively with us. So if you're thinking, oh my gosh, this would never work, we don't have enough advisors, I assure you, we didn't think we had enough either.
You guys, if we can just pause for a second, I'm sorry, there's a couple of questions in the chat that I want to make sure we get to. I think the first looks like Michael Traylor asked, can you place up from developmental all the way to college algebra without the co-rec?
Sure, you can place up all the way to calculus. And in fact, I don't know if we touched on this, but one of the reasons the boot camp takes place in the first week is that's still within the 100% refund period for a student. So if they place up into trigonometry, they can drop the Emporium and take trigonometry the following semester. We don't have any late, so one of the success initiatives at our college is no late starts are permitted anymore for students. Students can't register late for courses. And not enough students place up into higher level courses to make starting them week two beneficial, really. So if they place into something that's already started, they would wait until the next semester to actually take it. But yeah, they can place up to calculus.
Okay, perfect. And then there was another that I think I'll let you answer, but does what they do in PPL carry over to their course, or do they start with the new initial knowledge check?
They start with the new knowledge check. The two don't talk to each other. But one thing I love about PPL is there's absolutely no calculators involved. And so just requiring them to brush up on mental math facts with no calculator really takes them a long way on that initial knowledge check. So they don't directly talk to each other, but there's a direct benefit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think, Jessica, you addressed the advisor-student ratio.
I don't know what the number is, but all I know is that we always needed more, and we are not like unusually, we don't have an unusually high number from you know, 10 years of going to conferences. I don't know what the number is. Do you?
No, but when we approached advising about this idea, one thing they told us was their capacity changes based on the week of the semester. There are certain times when students are registering when their demand to talk to advisors is really high. And week one is a quote unquote slow week for advising. That might be true at your institution as well, because students have mostly already registered. So it was a rare window when they could be taken off of other tasks and focused on this task.
And then the last one, and then get back to the program, but we appreciate all the questions, you guys, so keep them coming. Are you still using Compass to test?
No, oh no. We started using PPL in 2016.
Perfect, all right, thanks.
So Jess, I can go ahead and launch the poll if we're ready.
Yeah, Amy, are you? You good? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so we just have a question for all of you guys. Do they see the screen right now, or what are they seeing? Okay, I guess
we're
seeing.
So I just launched it, so everyone should be able to vote. And we'll keep it open for about 20 seconds or so. Maybe less.
You better hurry. Simon's here. Oh, goodness. Sorry. I mean, hey, Simon.
All right. 5 second warning. Simon wants to know if he won. All right. Let's go ahead and take a look at the results.
So it looks like a third of people thought maybe 35%, which is great. 27, it's sort of evenly distributed really between 15 to 50%. So kind of all over the place on those guesses. Let's see the result. So if you flip to the next, yeah. Yep, so yep, 30, those of you who guessed 35 were dead on. Really, 36% of all students increased their math placement over every semester that we've offered this, from when we first began the pilot in autumn 17 to when we were full scale on most of our campuses, everything but our branch campuses, autumn 19. So very good. Yep, 36% of all students after just 5 hours of practice increase at least one level. So let's see if you can do as well on this question. And the difference is we're asking about the lowest placing students here. We have basically two levels of remediation now, so of the lower of the two.
All right, folks, last chance to submit your answer.
So a little more leaning on the lower side of things this time, on the 15%. Some are thinking, you know, just as good, maybe 35%. So let's find out the answer to that. How are those lowest placing students doing in our week one boot camp? Well, what we discovered was that the lower the developmental level, truly the greater the underplacement, and there's many, many reasons for that. If you think about the different school districts, students may be coming from an affluent suburban school district versus an inner city school district. There are many reasons why students can't show their performance on a one and done placement test, a lot of life circumstances. So what we actually found was over half of those students increased their placement when given the opportunity to just practice for 5 hours before retesting. So those students that placed into that sixth grade, seventh grade math, right? Think about that. You're entering college and someone's telling you, yeah, you got to go back and start with seventh grade math again. Over half of those students, the blue bar, are placing up at least one level. For students that started at that two levels below, that beginning algebra, we're seeing a quarter of them increasing their placement. And that's how we're getting to the 30%, 36% overall. So it's important to really dig into all the data, right? And disaggregate to really see who's benefiting and who might not be as much. So that's what we did. Yeah, we dug into the question. Data.
We had a couple questions. One is the original placement before boot camp done by ACT score?
It can be done by ACT score. If someone doesn't have an ACT score, then they're taking the Alex PPL placement test. But yes, we accept ACT scores. Many students that place into developmental don't place with an ACT score though. Most take a placement test. Okay, so we looked across our different student populations and we see that not only are overall all students increasing by about 36%, but when we look at our low-income students, those that we identify by the fact that they are Pell eligible, 32% of them are increasing their placement. Students who are coming to college for the first time in their families, those first-generation students, 32%, all the way across to Black and African-American students. And take a look at Black African-American male students. 40% of them who place at the lowest level are increasing their place. Overall are increasing their placement, and they're outperforming the average. They're outperforming every other group in terms of increasing their placement. So this is a busy chart. Kind of want to look at how we might be closing equity gaps in places. So this is looking again at just low income students and looking way back in 2010, very few of them were completing college math in their first year, whether they were Pell eligible or not Pell eligible, very small percentage. Still, the non-Pell eligible students back in 2010 increased or completed math by like 6% more of them did. And then as we go along here around 2012, 2013, when we started the Emporium, you notice success increasing for both groups. You don't really see a closing of the gap, but around 2013, you see just what an increase we have. We know that's due to the Emporium. Then comes the Alex PPL Bootcamp, where students have a chance to improve their placement. And we see right around 2017, 2018, when we started doing this, finally a narrowing of that gap. And we're now at 4% instead of 6%, and continuing to increase overall the number of students completing math in their first year.
Sorry, Amy.
That was it. So I do see some questions coming through. Do we have time to answer some more questions?
Yeah, I think we have a couple minutes, maybe 1.5 minutes. Okay. So yeah, it looks like someone asked if the PPL tests are proctored. Are both PPL tests proctored?
Yes.
All right. And then where is the 5 hours of work completed, at homeschool or both?
Both. They start at home. They start at school, and then they finish it at home before they come back on the second day. Or they can go to, if they don't have access at home, they can go to our computer commons where they could work on it on campus.
Okay. Great. Anything else? Anyone, you can come off mute or let me know. I guess we have to allow you to talk, it looks like, which is a weird Zoom setting, but.
I had a question about using the PPL and placement process with high schools. Have you thought about, working with local high schools as a dual enrollment, particularly for students who are not planning on taking a fourth year, taking math their senior year of high school?
I can take that, Amy, at least start, because we've talked about it. We actually already have a program in place. It's called College Prep Math, which is basically offering our Emporium in the high schools. So we already have that kind of a similar concept to what you're saying. As far as taking it to another level of increasing your placement, it kind of didn't quite fit with the model of our high schools, and working with the high schools is very complicated. Because we've thought about how would we train, who would proctor the test to the high school students? Would it be an academic advisor? Where would they do that? So there were some logistical challenges with it, but essentially students have an opportunity in high school to essentially do the same thing via almost a course similar to our Emporium in that fourth year of their high school career. Amy, did you want to add?
No, I think there's one other question. It's such a good one. I wanted to try to address it. It was, but cut us off if we don't have time. It was about to describe our attendance and participation policy a little bit.
Go for it.
Jessica, why don't you go ahead and take that one? I've been talking a lot.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. So our attendance and participation, they get in the Emporium course, every week, including the first week, they get a participation grade, a P for participating or an NP for not participating. So to be counted as participating, they have to attend. It's a 2-day-a-week course. They have to attend both classes the whole time, get there on time. So we have like a sign-in sheet that goes away after five or so minutes, and then a sign out sheet that goes out not till the end. So they have to stay the whole time, work actively. And then there's an hours requirement every week. They have to spend so many hours working. And Alex, Amy, I forget what it even is currently. I'm so confused with remote and everything.
I think it's like 10 hours.
Like nine or 10 or yeah. I forget exactly 9 or 10 hours per week. Yeah. Actively working in Alex. Or they have to learn a certain number of topics, like about 30 topics a week. So it's an either or. So it's to kind of make sure we're accommodating students who need to decelerate a little bit in the course. If they don't quite get the 30 topics, but they're working actively for a certain number of hours, then they get their participation grade for the week. But with the boot camp, the first week's a little different because we don't have the coursework starting yet. So to get their participation grade for the week, I kind of mentioned a couple of things they have to, again, same thing with the attendance, be on time, stay the whole time. If they place up though, they have to take that advising form. They have to make sure they have, again, holding them accountable, making sure they're getting that advising they need. They have to bring that form back the next week as part of their participation grade. Oh, and then the 5 hours, of course. Spending 5 hours remediating between the first day of class and the second day of class, that's their hours requirement for the week. They have to spend that time. If they don't spend the 5 hours, they would get a grade of not participating for the week. And then if they get during the semester, four or more NPs, not participating grades, then that would be an unsatisfactory in the course. But you know, we like to say we build in life happens. So they have 3 weeks during the semester when something could happen, you know, with no penalty. And some instructors have, there could be excused absences and occasionally with, you know, medical situations, up to 2 excused absences by, you know, per instructor.
The Emporium is pass fail. So students will carry whatever progress they had forward into the next semester, but they'll get a U, an unsatisfactory grade for the semester. But that whole idea of pass fail is an important aspect of Emporiums in general versus those high stakes linear courses where they literally get F's and D's and E's. So students will not complete and they'll get a U for that semester and then they'll move forward with their progress next semester. It's highly motivating.
It doesn't affect their GPA.
Nope, it's made a huge difference in students completing our Emporium. It's just kind of key. And we didn't think we could have a participation policy, and we found out we could. So you just, you know, consider that if you have an Emporium at your institution. We have one for our co-rec college algebra course as well, participation policy. It's kind of just essential.
All right. So
don't pass. I mean, most students pass now because they do participate.
That's great. Well, thank you. Thank you all. I know that we need to wrap up and let you guys get to your next session and the coffee, or I guess it's only 9:50 where I am, but it's in the afternoon. So quick lunch or whatever it is that you guys need to do. I put a link to our trivia that's going to start at 4 Central in the chat. So please make sure you'll have that link and the password to join us there.